In every person, there is some good. In every person, there is some good. And the good of a person, you can find somewhere on the features of a person. A woman, she might not have such beautiful features, she might have beautiful eyes, but you can always find something to praise, and you praise that. Yaram Gamliel said to him, he's married her already, and she belongs to Mishpachas Durkati, and she hasn't got down the Sulim, and he was worried about that, so he says to him, you don't have to worry about that. You can acquire your purchase, take possession of your purchase, and then what can you do? After all, she can't have children. He says, Ashrecho, be happy that you have got that family. What can he be happy about? In any, some good he can find. There is no question of Nido, of being over the din of Nido, that will never happen to you. You follow? Okay. So find some good in it. You understand?
I understand, but didn't we come across the Gemara last time, or a few weeks ago, about, I don't know if it came across anymore, but you discussed the case about where a woman who, let's say, cannot have children.
Yes.
Is she not required before they get married to inform?
Good. She doesn't know. She knows, I suppose, that she wasn't menstruating. She just says, Mishpachas Dukati. Actually, her parents should have told her. Of course, and he can afterwards, there is a question afterwards, that he's got a basis, it's a question of Bekachtoas, he's got that basis, he's got a basis of, if he lives with her 10 years, he's got a basis there. There are certain bases that he has got, but it's for the meantime, it's okay, you can be happy. You lived with her, you can be quite sure that there was no question of intimacy. What is that? But at least to give a person a sense, we must see, put it into some kind of perspective, and don't rob him of everything that he's got. And that is the meaning of it. You understand?
Yeah.
You don't have to say yes, but I shouldn't have a sleepless night.
I understand. It doesn't necessarily mean it sits well by me at this point.
All right. Just as I want to get down to the Mishnah, I would have also come in the river. Person came in front of Rebbe, Omele Rebbe, Bo Alki Bule Motsosi Dam. He said, Rebbe, I made a beer, there was no dam. Omro Loshi said to him, Rebbe, I die in the Sulo, he said. I am still a basulo. And I want you to know that I die, no, I'm sorry. She said, Rebbe, I die in the Sulo, he said. I was still a basulo at the time that it happened. But it was a time of famine. Ro or Rebbe ship named Shechori. A Rebbe saw that their faces were black. Tivo Alehem, the Yechnisum Lemechots. He commanded that they be brought into a bathhouse. Behe Echilum, and he gave them food. The Hishkum, and he gave them water. The Yechnisum Lecheder, and he brought them into a room, Boal Umotso Dam, and he had a beer and there was dam. Omar Lezer Rebbe said to him, Lech Secheder Mikchachol, go and acquire your purchase. Kori Rebbe Aleihem, and Rebbe said about them, this Pasuk, which we read last Sunday, Sofat Eurom Al Atzmom, Yovesh Hoyoka 8. Their skin was drawn over their bones. It was dry as wood. That is in the time of famine. So he said they looked like that, and it's possible that he fed them up and he washed them, and everything was around. But what we see from all this is to the extent how far allowed the Rabbonim win to go out of their way that he should be satisfied that she was indeed a basula. They did everything possible, sometimes by suggestions and sometimes by actually examining the cases and proving to him that she was a basula. Why do they go to all that extent? How important it is that a man's wife should be high in his estimation. That there shouldn't be anything in his estimation that isn't in order about her. So that is what they did. Went to all this trouble. That is what they did. And also when we got the Dean of Sotor, that we give her the mind honoring to drink, we do it. The main reason we do it is not that she must be the one to suffer. The main reason we do it, and we hope that nothing will happen. And if nothing happens, then he's convinced. Then he's convinced that it is in order. And then there's Shalom Abayis again, and there's a proper marriage, and everything is in order again after that. That is the way it works. Now here you've got this whole piece of Gemara, and you do the Rashi is very simple on it, the Gemara is very simple, but it's good to know this piece of Gemara because it helps you with the words, it's easy, it's almost narrative portions, and you get to know it, and I want you to go over this Gemara, I was to discuss the Chazora with you, but let us do the Tosfos on it. Not the Tosfos, the Rashi, I'm sorry. Yes, the Esau, not the Esau, the Esau, that's the bell. Esau is the bell, D-O-U-G-H.
And a few lines further down, this is Salma, the Shalma, Amar Le, the Shalma, the Man,
Bishlama. That is right, Leman de Oman is Chayiv, Haynu de Rabbi Chanino. If he says, if one is finds out that he's married to Dulkati, and he says to him, it's your bad luck, I can understand it, because that is according to Rabbi Chanino, who said that if a woman has got blood needles, it's a good sign. But if you say that he said Zachay, acquire it, it's your good fortune, my Zachuso, so he says the man Osi Lide Sofik Nido, because he doesn't, then there's no question that he can ever come to a Dean of Nido, Sofik Nido here. George, is there anything known to medicine, George?
Yes.
That in the case of, if there is a woman's got a lot of dumb needles, that it's a sign of fertility?
No, not really, although the woman does have to menstruate in order to...
To be fertile.
Or I should put it the other way around, if the woman is ovulating, then she does menstruate. Therefore, regular menstruation is a sign of one of the necessary elements for
fertility. Oh, fertility, that's probably what it is. Yes.
But that she should have a lot of blood? No, not that I know.
Mm-hmm. You see, it might mean that her menstrual periods are regular.
If that's so, then yes, that would be a sign of one of the necessary elements.
It might be that her periods are regular, what it means that her periods are regular. All right, if we could do the Rashi, Hito. It's not, the Rashi is 9 lines from the bottom. And you've got to go, all right, Barry. Just one moment before Barry goes, away for a couple of weeks on holiday. So I won't be here next week, and I won't be here the following Sunday. I would have liked to have been here the following Sunday, but I won't be able to make it because the following Sunday is already Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Elul, I mean. The following Sunday is Rosh Chodesh Elul. The first day of Rosh Chodesh Elul is on Sunday, and the second day is on Monday. Now, Michael isn't here. It's just a question of coming. I would like you to come together and learn Chavrusa. Learn together this. It's these two pages to do stuff you didn't do just till the next Mishnah. So that when I start again, which will be 3 weeks from tonight, we start from the new Mishnah. All right? Then, Gitor, it's 9 lines from the bottom. Gitor, he made a detour. When he reached the closed door of his house, there is something that prevents him from opening. And if he moves it a bit to the side, then it opens. And so it's the same, that is the example that he gives. So it's possible that a person doesn't notice that it's a Pesach Sosum or Pesach Noel, and he thinks it's a Pesach Pesuach. Iko de Amri below is Kavim lo Shchiach HaToya. There are those who say that if you don't know how to do HaToya, you can't do it. Below Amri lo Shemo Hito. And we don't say perhaps he made a detour, because the person who makes a detour knows exactly how to do it, and he does it with thought. Elokach Bodko. But this is the way to examine him. Say to him, Shema Bimezi Hikito Vi Karto La Dorto Vi Obro Akarto Adiris Avri Ofen. Perhaps you did it with force and you ripped up the door and the bolt. Hito Bimezi, it says Rashi, what is Bimis Kavinu Vecherach. You did it intentionally and with force. The chib so and washed it, Cheho Yutipe Adomi Mukhosi Meshich Vazera, because the drops of blood were covered with semen. Guilt? What is guilt? Rubbing the Eben has chuchis with stone, with clear stone would be good. With clear stone would be good.
Glassstone.
Every pardon?
The translation is glassstone.
Glass. Really, I don't know. Is there such a thing as glassstone?
That's okay. In Hebrew, it's like word which is with that. You call it today.
Like
you know,
a very light stone.
Yeah, it's called
pumice stone. Certain stone. From a certain stone, yeah. Kikibu shelohem, shehol you may mayhem yofim lechabis. Either their water was suitable for washing, for laundry, and some morning yofimoyolehendakabes, or they had good detergents. Uve kibushe nonu eina beged menubon actually give the goods. But with us, with our laundry, the garment doesn't become white unless there is rubbing. Mabrole chumrisa, Philip, this is your mabrole chumrisa. You wanted to know what that is, Rashi explains it. Shifshu for Eben, the rubbing of the stone, ma'avir esodom removes the blood. Chumriso Eben, kidamrina begitten, b'nizdoe v'chumriso, the nofik minay Eben aminces the former machmas choli. This is again, it's the doctor's night tonight. The Gemara says in Gitten, b'nizdoe v'chumriso, one has to be careful of the stone. The nofik mine that goes out of him, that goes out of a person, that is a stone in the kidney, even haminses the omo, from the kidney it goes into the gid, machmas choli because of the illness, and he passes it in his water. Which is possible, isn't it?
Sure.
Passes it in his water. So the Rashi just brings it that is the word chumrasa. The Gemara speaks about that with the kidneys, there's stones in the kidney. The Gemara speaks about it, and then it passes from the kidney, and it comes in and passes through the water, and man passes it through water. Reicha bodeh mi pio meyrichin reicha yayin, she nichnas lo derech pesach hapasua. One smells from her mouth the wine that enters into her bloodstream through the Pesach Pesua, through the opening below. Gemara Havishmiyale, she also came with most knowledge given the Masichti Yomas. There is, he learned that in Yomas, that this is something that was actually done, but he had, in practice he had never seen it. Yes.
What is he? Is that an effect?
The B'nai Yovish Gilad, the daughters of B'nai Yovish Gilad, yes, they did some experiment with him like this.
The name for a family or a place?
No, a place.
Oh,
a place, yes. And the Shah was the yes, Gilad, that's right. What is Dol Kotua? They haven't got either Dam Nido or Dam Suli. Yofin the Isho, Lamane Lohe Royal. It is good for a woman because it aids fertility. He said, you've got to her, it's your bad luck, you've got to just take her. This is the woman you've got to take her. Anything that is for a man's disadvantage is called his chayv. Their faces were black, machmas, raw or barren, because of the hunger, because of the famine. Sofar, Aurom, what is this word sofar? Now there are two interpretations given it, and I'll explain to you these two interpretations in a moment. Dunash Piresh Kamel Dovak Aurom, Dunash explains it as being Dovak Aurom, skin is stretched over the bones, al asmum, umenachem pireish shochar eurom, that their skin is was black. That's all. Now, so we've got the dunash and menachem. I'll explain that to you. You can sit down. You have been at it for some time. You can sit back now. Now just. You've heard me speak about the importance of the period of the Rishonim, period of 1,500. This period of Rishonim is so important because without the period of the Rishonim, the whole of the Gemara would be a closed book to us. All that we would have had would have been the English translation, the Santina translation. We wouldn't have been able to understand what the Gemara was all about. So we've got the Rishon. In the time of the Tanoim, and even still until the period of the Amoraim, they were still so great that each Amora was a specialist in the various branches, the various areas of the Torah. Each one was a specialist in every area of the Torah. After the close of the Gemara, and it was already, that already brought on the close of the Gemara, that was rapidly changing. And the next era, that is the era from 500 to 1000, which was the period of the Gaonim, there we already find that they are specializing in various areas. Now if you take the Gemara is Halacha. We deal with the formation of the Din. But we don't deal with the Pesakti. The actual Pesakti is another study altogether. In the time of the Gemara, they didn't worry about it. Everyone took the Gemara and worked out the Pesachim, and said, worked it out from the Gemara. in the time of the governing, the next period, we already find codification. By the time the Rishonim come along, that is, by the time we reach the year 1000, we find that there are schools, and each school is specializing in different aspects, different areas. First of all, we've got the school of exposition. The greatest exponent of the school of exposition is Rashi. He was born in 1040, and he lived to about 1105, must have been about 65, and died to 1104, somewhere around there. And he is the great exponent. He is the head of the school of exposition. After the school of exposition, we get the school of the commentators. A great commentator, the Rashba. Great commentator. The Ran, great commentator. Together with the school of the commentators, we have the school of the analysts. The Bali Tosfos. Tosfos analyzing it all. You already had some experience with that. School of the analysts. So we've already got three schools. Then you've got the school of the Mechadshei Torah, of the Baalei Chidushim. You've got the Ritvo, you've got the Rashbo, the novelists got a principle, an idea with which you could work through the Torah, work through the Gemara. So you've got the Chidushei or Rashbo, the Chidushei or Ritvo, the school of the novelists. Then you've got the school of the codifiers, the Rambam, the Rosh, the Rif, the two, whole school of codifiers. So how many of you have already got?
Four.
Five. The school of the exponents, the commentators, the analysts, the novelists, and the codifiers. So we've already got five.
Who's Rashba in?
Rashba novelists. School of the Mechadshei. Then we get, not that they're the way they use the word novelist today, the novellae, they were Rashba. That we've got, so we've got five. Then we've got the school of Musar, which started already in the time of the Rishonim. You've got the Rabbeinu Yonah, Shared Shuvah of Rabbeinu Yonah, one of the great Rishonim. You've got the Chovos HaLevavos, school of Musar, whole school of Musar. Then you've got the school of the Machshava, of the philosophers. You've got the Rambam in his Mori Nebuchim. You've got the Rambam to a certain extent. You've got the Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Alevi in the Kuzari. You've got Rabbi Yisrael Yogono, that is an earlier period, but still is the beginning of that period. You've got Rabbi Yisrael Yogono. You've got the school of the philosophers. In the time of the Gemara, it was all the Tanoim and the Averroim. Each one was a specialist in all these areas. After that, you've got the school of poetry. And the school of poetry, all the kinnos that we say on Tisha B'Av, all from the school of poetry. All the slichas that we say on the days before Rosh Hashanah and between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and the slichas that we say on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, it's all the school of poetry. And then you've got the lexicographers and the grammarians. I'm putting them together. And to that school belonged Dunash and Menachem. Dunash and Menachem belonged to the school of the grammarians and the school of the lexicographers. And I'm putting them together. Some of them take them as two separate schools. They went into the meaning of the words, the roots of the words, the grammar, the syntax. And Rabbi Noson of Rome was the great lexicographer. He did the Oruch. He was responsible for the Oruch. So how many have we got now? Nine. There's a tenth one. I can't just think of the tenth one. But in the time of the Rishonim, those are the schools we had.
That's from 1,000 to 1,500?
That's from 1,000 to 1,500, yes.
Yeah.
Approximately. So there you had all these nine schools flourishing simultaneously.
Is there a lot of overlapping?
In what way?
As far as people themselves. The Rambam was...
Well, the Rambam, you see, the Rambam had Rashi. Seems he had Rashi. Although he was his own exponent, he was his own commentator, he was his own analyst, and he was his own philosopher.
So that's one thing as far as one person.
Well, he was.
He wrote his own commentary. He wrote his own commentaries.
Have you pardon?
Rambam wrote his own commentaries on the Gemara.
He didn't write on the Gemara. Yeah.
Sure he did.
Only on Mishnayos.
No, but...
We believe that he wrote on Rosh Hashanah.
That's a good...
I've never seen that.
I was known that he wrote, it's known that he wrote on all the shas.
Yes, I did.
He writes on the
shas. And maybe we have found that the
shas is
the only one.
I've never seen that.
He writes in his introduction to the commentary.
But we know about that on Rosh Hashanah, that we know on Rosh Hashanah, but I've never seen it. On Rosh Hashanah, I've never seen it. I just know that I believe that it was lost afterwards.
No, let me hear it.
But you see, even when he writes his Perush HaMishnayos LeHarambam, it's quite a different Perush from the Perushim that we are accustomed to. It's not like Rashi, it's not like the Rav. Quite different from any of the Perushim, because he writes it with a different idea. He doesn't write it as a commentary. It's a different type of commentary.
Yeah.
But when it's a commentary that helps us to understand the Torah, use a bit of, although we use it for it, it comes in very useful. But there are lots of things that he says there that are different from the usual commentary. His great work is that he's a codifier.
What is he knew Rashi's works?
There's no reason to assume that he didn't, because he speaks about it.
He never mentioned. He done quotes Rashi, but
he speaks when he writes to his son and to the Ibn Ezra. He quotes and he says, "Their Torah is very good."
The letter to his son.
So the Torah is very good. He doesn't mention Rashi, but he mentions the Chachmei Tzofas.
Critically, only.
No, the Torah is very good. Criticizes them for other things, but the Torah he says is very good.
It's questionable why they wrote that letter also.
I think one of the big problems with the Rambam is that the fact he doesn't mention in Yad HaChazuka, he doesn't mention any name. In the Yad HaChazuka, in the Avodos,
That is because he explains in his Abdomen, he explains why he did that. He didn't want any kind of confusion. He wanted an aloha, and that's all he did. But from the Rambam, we know the Peshat that he learned in the Gemara. It's from the Rambam we know the Peshat that he did. And even in this little Gemara that we did do, that we did here, the Rambam gives a Peshat here in the Gemara. That's obviously that he learns the Gemara differently from Rashi, with Rav Nachman. And he learns it like the second tenets in Tosfos. Like the second Pshat in Tosfos. And the Rambam comes out and he learns Pshat like the second Pshat in Tosfos. That's the way he learns Pshat. Doesn't learn it like Rashi. So we can learn out in his analysis, we can learn from the way he passes. That's what we do. And that's what the Osameach does when he works on the Rambam. You follow? He works backwards. If the Rambam passes like this, then this is the way he must have understood the Gemara. So that is our Dunash and Menachem. They come into it and Rashi makes use of them, and that's not Rashi's field. Rashi is the exponent, but for his exposition he uses these two. You follow? All right, about it. Oh, not very much time left. Any questions? Any further questions?
Off the subject. Off the subject. Where would you place Moshe Hadarshan? Rashi brings him down.
I think also, it becomes also grammarians in that. I think also, yes. Oh, Drush, that's right. Drush is Drush is the tenth school. The Midrashim. The Drush is the tenth school. School of Drush.
The Kabbalist.
Urash. Kabbalah. School of Kabbalah. It's actually a five tribes. It's 11th school. Five tribes. School of the Kabbalah was 11th school.
I have a question.
Yes?
A few weeks ago, did you ask for somebody to bring in a consumer? A sample of the consumer?
Yes. How did you do that?
They all right, so that is it.
Yes. It's written here, for example, it goes like this, where the Chosen says to the bride, Have you been into Kedas Moshe in Israel? Be to me a wife according to the law of Moshe in Israel. And I will work for you, I will support you according to the law of Jewish men who work and support their wives correctly. And I will give you Moab Basulaiti. What is the they didn't like the word dowry.
Bride's price.
Then it's left Kesaf Zuzi, how much you put in. It's left open. So you put in 200 the Chosi Leiti, which is due to you. And you put in Midoraisa from the Torah. And if it's an almona, you would say 100, that is due to you, Midorabonot. So the space is left open, so I just wanted to say that if the space is open, so they're good.
Does everyone, do all kesubos have the Midoraisa? Do some communities
In fact, Tosfos takes it for granted. If you look, Tosfos takes it for Tosfos says, but Sephardic can be different because Tosfos is Ashkenazi.
That's what I'm asking.
He says, "Many people born in Gabi Emu years." I must tell the chat so the Kesuba the Kosha the Noagulichta Bikasuba. The Minag is to write in the Kesuba Kasas Zuzi Mayos on the Khosalahi Midoraisa. That you write it, it's Midoraisa. So the Morris is according to Ram Gambia. That we pass from according to Ram Gambia that Kesuba is Midoraisa. Alright. Now I've got to start off next time from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Omud Beis. If you could go through the Gemara on Daf Yud Omud Aleph and half of Daf Yud Omud Beis, I would be very happy. You don't need the Gemara if you could get it from the time that I'm not here. I'm very sorry, I don't know how I'll be able to pull through the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But I'll try my best.
Is the reason it appears that because of the way the Gemara is structured, that first we bring out the case of Ahud also the Kamei de Rav Gamliel, and he said that's of a circumcision,
yes.
And then it shows that this is the response.
Yes.
Later it goes on to say that
Dam.
That it's a whole different approach. In other words, that this is the best way to go rather than...
There are two things that you've got in there. First of all, the Gemara gives you all these cases, and the deal is that when it is examined, all the cases are... A Rob will take all the cases. Perhaps it was Artoya. Perhaps it was the force. In fact, there is something brought in the deal that isn't brought here. Perhaps you were so gentle that you didn't even notice. That's also brought. It was so gently done, so gently and so slowly, and so protractedly that you didn't notice that it was brought. Another way that isn't mentioned here, but in the deal it's mentioned. So everything possible is done, and that's why all these cases are brought. And by the time we've done the whole omit of Gomorrah, then you've already put into a frame of mind to see that everything must be tried in order that he should be satisfied that she was indeed a basula. Because it's so easy to go wrong in these things. That is one thing. And the second thing that you've got to notice is that it doesn't go chronologically. Because sometimes it goes an earlier, then it's a later time, and then it goes back an earlier time and a later time. It goes, but what is in order, the way it is dealt with, which I haven't gone through, but the way it is dealt with, that is in order. There is an order about the way in which it is dealt with. But that is the whole purpose of this Gemara is, and it winds up the whole sugya, the whole thing, the whole Gemara that we did, it's all wound up on that note, and it leaves us on that note. Which is very typical of the Gemara. Please don't think that you've done 10 duff of Gemara. You haven't. You've done 9. Starts from base, doesn't start from other. You can say that you've done that. Gentlemen, I'd be pleased if somebody would double my name. One is from Mr. Michael Medley. The second one is from Mr. Phil Silverman. And the third one is from David Foyer. They've made their apologies for this evening. Now, gentlemen, it's a long time since we've learned. I make it about, what's it, 9 weeks?
12.
Is it 12 weeks? Now, 12 weeks is, of course, it's a very, very long time for people who have been working regularly. For those who have not been working regularly, it's not a long time. But if you work regularly, 12 weeks, not having learned, is a long time. Where did I end with you 12 weeks ago? Did I get as far as the Mishnah?
Yeah.
You instructed us while you were gone to cause you to want to get to know us so that you could start on the next
one. On the Mishnah. Fine, sir. I've got to start on the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Daf Yud on the page, towards the middle of the page, the lower middle of the page. David, are you happy with where the place is? You are at C still?
Yes, it's right
here. That's all. That's quite simple. Stuart, have you got the place?
Yes, I'm following along.
See ya. Mark, what's the trouble? Is it only a question of a chair? The Gemishnah begins by telling us Vesulo Kesuboso Mosaim V'almona Mono. the basulo of a the kasubo of a basulo is 200. The amount is 200 mono. Mono. That is a amount in coin. The almono mono, and the amount that a widow receives is 100 mono. Besulo almono grusho v'chalutzo mino elusi. Now what happens if a man makes kiddushin in a woman? In front of two witnesses, he says, "Hare at mekudeshes li b'davar zukatas v'chevi Yisrael." And then for the nesuin, for the chuppah, there's going to be a break of a year, let us say. And between the kiddushin and the nesuin, the husband dies. So he leaves his betrothed, he leaves his aruso as an almono. But she's not an almona from the nesuin, from the time of the chuppah, but she is an almona from the time of the Eidusi. Or, grusho, the Eidusin takes place, and between the period of Eidusin and nesuin, they decide to break up. Under which circumstances, the man gives his aruso a get. She is a grusho, but she is a grusho from the time of Eirusi. That means that she is still a basulo. Chalutzo, a man dies without any children, so his wife is an almono, so his wife now is an almono. And his deceased brother gives her chlitza. So she is a chlutzo. But she is a chlutzo from the Eirusi, that means that she's still a basulo. So she is a chlutzo, but she is a basulo. Mino Eirusi. So these three are basulos, an almona, a grusho, and a chlutzo. They are all basulos, but they are spesulos mino erusi. Kesuboson mosai. Their ksuba is 200. Veyesh lohen tainas basulim. And there is a claim of basulim as far as the husband is concerned. That a big Basulim is virginity. And there is a claim of virginity as far as the husband is concerned. Because he accepts her as a basulo. He knows that there was erusin, that she became, that the orus died shortly after the erusin. And before the chuppah, there wasn't any beer. So he takes her to be a basulo. Or if she was a grusha mina erusin, or if she was a chlutza mina erusin. He takes her to be a basulo. Her kesubo is 200, veyesh lohen tainas basulin, and in this, under these circumstances, he's got a claim as far as basulin is concerned. Before you ask any questions, I just want you to draw the inference. The diuk is that it's possible that she can be an almono and a grusha and a chlutza from the nesuin and also be a kesubo and also be a basulo. It's possible that the chuppah took place and immediately after the chuppah the chosen dies. Can be. So she's an almono mina nesuin and she's an a basulo almono mina nesuin. That the kesubo is 100. For that the kesuba is 100.
For which?
If she is an almono min hanesuin, after the chuppah she can be an almona and a basula. Uh-huh. He dies before the evening.
Right.
Who pays for it? So, for her, if she is able to know, then even without Nisuin, her Kesuba is 100. If she is a Natsuo, no, this is speaking about the second husband now. This is for the remarriage, you see. Is she's an Amon from the first husband, she gets 200. Mm-hmm. Now the question is, the second husband, she's marrying again, he's got to write a Kesuba. For how much is he going to write a Kesuba? Is he going to write a Kesuba for Vosayim or for Mona? That's what, that even got this clear. That's all it is. Charles?
Just the Betula Almana Grusha Vechalutza, in that forwards, are we saying, could this woman have been a widow, an Almana, and she would still be entitled to 200 at this point, this being her second time?
Yes, that is it. That's what it says. Because she is an Almana, but she is a Vesuva. No. There's only been Eirusin.
Okay, so she's specifically an Almana. This is the first time this has occurred to her. Her husband has died in that intervening year.
Yes.
She's never been married before this.
She's been married, and her husband died, and she got a Kesuba of 200, and now she wants to marry a second time.
By the time of her engagement to this man, though, she was a Betula. She was not an Almana prior to this engagement.
Prior to this engagement, she was an Aruso. And when her husband died, she was still an Aruso. Means that she was still a Basulo.
You're not allowing for the fact that it's marriage at Erison.
Yes, I'm saying prior to Erison.
Nothing.
What was her status?
Of course. If she was a Basulo, then even for the first marriage, she only gets 100. If she is a Be'ulo, then even with a Be'ulo, then even without Nesuin, she only gets 100. And if she is a Nesua, even with Besurim, she gets 100. If she is a Be'ulo, then without Nesuin, she gets 100. Once she's a Be'ulo, she's entitled to 100. And if she is a Basulo, until the suing she's entitled to 100. Once there's been the suing, she's not entitled to 200. Not once there's been the suing, she's not entitled to 200 anymore.
If the husband dies between Kufa and Bia, she does inherit from the husband's property.
What do you want to go into a question of inheritance now? You've got a whole Gemara there with inheritance. Right. We are dealing only with one sub. We are dealing whether she gets a Kesuba or not. You're going with a great inheritance. Well, again, I'm going to start out with this now. Then it starts here. Yeshnachri. Here starts the whole thing. All this I've got to do. And then it's not enough. Then starts a Misha Megas. We're not dealing with that subject.
Sorry,
guys. Just keep to this. You keep to this and then you can work it out.
Yes. Why does the Mishnah have to say both Almana and Chalutza?
Very good question. A very good question. That is a question that Tosfos asks. That's a question that Tosfos asks, and we'll come to the question. We'll come to it just now. We'll come to the Tosfos just now. That is very simple. Milton is Milton, I believe. Right. Now, let us do the Rashi on this little piece of Mishnah. It says Rashi, Besulo almono ugrusho. Bein besulo shihi almono, if it is a besulo that she is an almono, or a ogrusho, ochlutso, or a grusho, or a chlutso, mino erasin, The chozer of the nisa is, and now she marries a second time. Kesuboso, her kesubo, minasheni, from the second husband, Mosaim is 200. You see how clear Rashi makes it. She'arei becheskes besudo hi nisa islo. Because she gets married to the second husband as a besulo. Vegeshvarim tainas besuli. And now comes a Rashi, which is a very big chidush. Says Rashi, im lo mitso habeis besulo. If the second husband doesn't find her to be a besulo, odo koltim kesuboso de mekach toasilo. She loses her whole kesuba because it is a mekach toas. Now, a mekach toas means a mekach is a purchase. Toas is an error. It means that it is a purchase in error. He bought a Rolls Royce and he's presented with an ox wagon. It's not what he bought. To make up to us. So the seller of the ox wagon can't come and tell him a story. But this is better than a Rolls Royce. A Rolls Royce gets punctures. This can never get a puncture. You can't get him. A Rolls Royce really a Rolls Royce has got, you've got to have gas for a Rolls Royce. This runs without gas. It's a better, you can't tell him a story like that. It's a make up to us. He gets his money back. Here he marries a basulo and he finds she's a ba'ulo. Says Rashi, then it means that she doesn't get anything at all. This is not what he bargained for. This is not what the purchase was. So it will appear to Rashi, according to Rashi, it would appear that the whole thing that there is no kiddushin is nothing at all. That's what it would appear to be. We can't go further in this because a little bit further in the Gemara, the whole question of Mekachtos is going to arise. And then we'll deal with it, then we'll know more about it, we'll arise. But so, for the time being, that is what it would appear to be. Milton?
This may not have relevance from the time of the Gemara, but it may have relevance to the time of today.
Yes.
Man meets a woman.
Yes.
He wants to marry her.
Yes.
Is he to assume that she is a Basula?
Well, you are putting me in a very difficult position. 4 years ago and 2 weeks, 4 years ago and 2 weeks, I would have said, well, of course she's a basula. But I came to California 4 months, 2 weeks ago. And since I came to California, I say, of course she's not a basula. And he said, but she is. I said, well, very easy. And surprise, it's a different world, of course.
Right.
Is that the relevance you want to know?
The question I had is this, okay, you're saying that a man has the idea he's getting a Rolls Royce. You know,
yes.
He has the idea he's getting some very valuable, precious things. Does he have a right to ask the woman?
He's got the right to say, look, he said, I don't want to marry somebody who's been going about with men. He said, I don't go about with women, I don't want to. Or he might say, I did go about with women, I'm not going to do it again, I know what it means, and I'm not going to have anybody else, I'm not going to marry anybody else. I don't know what he can say, but he's got the right to say.
Is it their affairs to know that?
Under these circumstances, yes.
I mean, if he's content on marrying,
yes. Under these circumstances, yes. I can't imagine that there are circumstances where I would regard it an impertinence to ask. A man who's got all, I don't want to say too much about it, but a real philanderer. And he, well, of course, that's a different thing. Speaking about a normal society. We're living in abnormal times. It will get right. But we are living in really abnormal times where this is it's the norm today. Fine. Got to cope with it.
I have to cope with it. have another question. Yes. I don't want to take you too far off
yes.
track. Today, if a man finds that the woman, she says, yes, I have been with her.
Yes.
I know in those times it was regarded, you know, you're saying she would lose her whole suit.
No, no, if she says, okay, I've lived with a man before, I'm not a behulah. You know, we've had some of it before already. Even if after the wedding she says, I am a he says, I didn't find basuri. You know, it's going to be very difficult for him to prove that he couldn't find basuri. We have this whole Gemara there, the way of what we're putting through. And we say, look here, perhaps it, you didn't know. You don't know what it is. Perhaps you forced your way in and you couldn't have noticed it. Perhaps you went in so gently that you also didn't notice. All these things can be. He can't survive. But it's we go through everything because we assume that she is a basura. But let us say, a man marries a girl that the husband died immediately after the chuppah. And then he comes and he longs and says, Temechtos, I find that she is a be'ula. It's a Temechtos. Because I took her to be a basula. That can't. That's no gone. Once she is in a sewer, you can't assume anything anymore.
Can't assume it.
No. You can't assume anything anymore once she's in a sewer. And if she tells him before and she says, okay, I want you to know that I'm a Be'ula. She might say, I'm a Mukasaitz. But I haven't got the Suli. And he marries, of course, then there's nothing that he accepts it. That's all the name of Taurus. Right. Well, right. Yes, sir, David.
In this past week, the Torah portion, the Yetetzeh,
yes.
There was some discussion of talking about the two.
That's right. We discussed that it came up in the Gemara.
Oh, it's only been discussed.
Yes, it has. It's come up in the Gemara how it's done. That was one of the things that we discussed, and actually we discussed it the last time we learned, and that is where there are the sheets are produced and there is nothing on the sheets, and she says, "But I was a basula." Then we've got what one of them did was what the dying for people came. He said he took the sheets and he himself washed the sheet, and then he found as he removed the semen under the semen, he found drops of blood. He said, "Yeah, it is." And then they asked the letters always do that. They say it's not always a proof. Because our type of laundering is a different type of laundering. If we don't launder sufficiently, we see nothing, and if we launder too much, we take everything away. So all these things have been brought up. All right. Yes,
one question.
Mechachtos.
Mechachtos.
Tous. Yes.
Okay.
It's in the Rashi.
I read it. Is
yes.
that a standard legal term?
Yes.
And the question is, does that imply that the goods were not as bargained for, or would it be faulty goods?
That is what? That it was what?
The goods were not as bargained for, or that they were faulty.
Can be anything.
Could be either.
It can be a question of price, too. For example, if I buy something, and a person overcharges me 10% more than the normal price, it's a sale. If he overcharges me 1/6 more than the normal price, the sale is a sale. But I have to, but he's got to return to me what he overcharged me. If he overcharged me more than 1/6, the sale is no sale. Sale is out. It's a mechas tos. The sale is a sale. It's no sale.
Huh.
So we got those rules.
Overcharged right. Over your original?
Overcharged over the market price. What is a fair market price? Now you see, you're going to Macy and the thing costs $40. You go into Bullocks and it costs $53. You go into Emporium and it costs $55. You go into Broadway and it costs $60. Follow? And you come to a person and he charges you $70. Well, you're entitled to take that. Between $50 and $60 is the price of it. The most is $60. You overcharged me $10 on $60. That is a six. A six, you've got to give me back the $10. If you charge him $75, the wholesale becomes $4.
Rabbi Lappin,
yes, Mark, just one moment. Yes.
People
who sell kosher products fall in a category all of their own. They are not governed by any laws, whether they be federal law, state law, Jewish law. They are. It's a very different answer.
How does that translate into creation of it?
They translate into English people who sell kosher products, especially before Pesach. So, separate me. You're dealing with you find in society that you deal with a. It's a min bifnei atzmo. You deal with a type. That is the min. What can you do? Type of person. Right. That is the piece of. The Mishnah and the Rashi. Now I just want to explain to you how Rashi is working this year. Just to get the pshat of Rashi, if you look at the first piece of Rashi, Besuro Almono Grusho, says Rashi, Bein Besuro Shihi Almono, whether it is an Besuro who is an Almono, or a Grusho, or a Chlutzo from the Eresim, and she marries again. Look how many words Rashi uses. We can't understand why Rashi uses so many words. You can't understand why Rashi uses so many words, because when I taught you the Mishnah, I taught it in a way that you should be able to understand it. But when I learned the Mishnah, and I'm preparing it for you, I learned the Besulo Kizuboso Mosaic, the Almono Mono, a Besulo, just look at the Mishnah. A Besula, her Kasuba is 200 and an Armona is 100. Now, the Mishnah explains. A Besulo and an Almono and a Gerusho and a Chlutzo from the Erusin Kasubos and Mosai. I can learn it. A Besulo is 200. An Almono and a Gerusho and a Chlutzo from the Erusin, their Kasuba is 200 even if they are not Besulas. That's the way I can read it. You understand? You want me just to go over it, how not to learn it?
Yeah.
I could very easily learn it like this. I learned the Mishnah. Besulo kesubasa mosai. At Besula, her kesubi is 200. The almona mono and the kesuba of a widow is a mono. Explains the Mishnah. Now this is the way that Rashi doesn't want me to learn it, but I would have learned it, I would have fallen into trap. A Besulo, now it explains, a Besulo, or an Almona, or a Grusho, or a Chlutzo from the Erusin. That means if the girl is a Besulo, or she is an Almona from the Erusin, or a Grusho, or a Chlutzo from the Erusin, her Kesuba is 200. Which would mean that if she is an Almona from the Erusin, even if she is not a Besulo, she gets 200. Says Rashi doesn't mean that. Besulo is in opposition to Almono. It doesn't stand on itself. And it is common to each one of the three. A Besulo who is an Almono, or a Besulo who is a Grusho, an Almono is a Besulo, Grusho is a Besulo, and a Nechalutsu is a Besulo. Then you get that there. That is what Rashi says. Is that clear? Well, we don't have to. Now, Saul asked a question. Saul said, we are given three cases. An almona from the Erusin, a grusha from the Erusin, and a chalutza from the Erusin. Three cases. Ask Saul. All right. An almona from the Erusin, I've got to understand. A grusha from the Erusin, yes. But chalutza mino Erusin. Why do I need chalutza mino Erusin? Stuart, you know what a chalutza is?
Yeah, not a mina Erusin.
Are we pardon?
Not the other part, the mina
Erusin. You don't know what Erusin means? In the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, the wedding ceremony was divided into two parts. Today, the first part was the Erusin, where he says, Arei Atma Kodesh, Zibet Abar, Zukadas, Moshevi Yisrael, before two witnesses. Gives us a ring. But once upon a time, the time of the Mishnah, the Gemara, the bride went to her parents and the chosan went to his parents. And a year later to the day the chuppah took place. So we are speaking about the interim period now. He doesn't live with her during that year.
Right.
Now, what happens if she becomes a almono, that means her husband dies, her betrothed dies, or he divorces her, or he dies, and there are no children, so she's got to go through a ceremony of chalitza. And she goes through a ceremony of chalitza, says Saul, but that's included in almona. If she's in a chalitza, then she is an almona. So what do we need it for? Isn't that so? Yes or no?
Yes, that's the question.
That's the question. You've got to be certain about the question you ask. Fine. If you look at the first Tosfos, we look at the first Tosfos, the Tosfos deals with it. Pesulo almona grusho chalutzo, says Tosfos, nire la farej, it would appear to me to explain, dile rebuso nokat chalutzo, that the Mishnah uses the word chalutzo as a chidush. He wants to introduce something that we wouldn't have known otherwise. The Sanko Daitoch Amino, because I might have thought to say, Kiven de Shomeres Yode, Lo Mechfero Chnisa Le Chupo, Shehare Yov Vomo Yovo O Leo Bal Korcho. Now I've got to explain that to you. If you would have followed last week's Sefer carefully, as obviously you did, David, there is the law there. What happens if brothers dwell together and one brother dies and he dies without issue? Then the law is that one of the other brothers marries her. Now, here we have, in order for you to understand the Tosfos, I've got to give you some laws about Yibum, which we haven't touched on before, which we have never had. The law of Yibum doesn't mean, strictly speaking, that a brother of the deceased husband must marry the woman. What it really means is that she becomes his wife. He doesn't need kiddushi. He doesn't even need chuppah. Are we pardon?
Automatically it happens.
Not quite automatically. Now, I'll explain it to you. As soon as her husband dies, and he dies without issue, and there is a brother, she becomes what is technically known as a Shomeres Yoveh. The word Shomer means to watch over to God. She becomes a god of the Yoveh. She watches over the Yoveh. That is Shomeres Yoveh. Yovain is the person, Yibu. Yovain is the brother-in-law that's going to take her. She becomes a Shemeres Yovain. All he's got to do is he's got to invite her into his home. Live with her. And that is the Kenyan. The Kenyan is just that he lives with her. That's the Kenyan. And she is his. She is his. To the extent to become his wife.
No,
but he doesn't need kiddushin. he doesn't need nisui. He writes her. He writes her a kesuba. So he writes her a kesuba. He writes a kesuba. Are we pardon?
You don't need
aiding. The mere fact that he lives with her is the Kenya. He lives with her. Not only can he live with her, but he doesn't even have her to ask her permission to live. She says he can live with her. He doesn't have to ask her permission. If she says she doesn't feel like it, he can force her to. Of course, that is the bare law. We don't work the law like that. We say, it's true. He's got to have Maimer. What is Maimer? Maimer comes from the word Amar. He said, Mem Aleph Mem Reish. He's got to say something. What has he got to say? He said, from the Rabbonon we demand that there is a form of kiddushin. He gives her a ring. He can even put a diamond into the ring this time. And he says, you are partaking, you're becoming, I'm performing the mitzvah of Yibum, and you're becoming my wife. And then he lives with her. Why is that? I want to explain to you. We had a very interesting situation once in South Africa. The government had tremendous respect for Rabboni. And there was a law that if anybody wanted to marry anybody, bans had to go out. Bans meant it had to be advertised for at least 3 clear weeks before that so-and-so, whose status is a bachelor, intends marrying so-and-so whose status is a spinster on that and that day. And that was law. We didn't worry very much about it. Of course, we overattended the law and it was done. It was only when the government started saying that they're going to introduce a new law that we realized that we would be missing out on this. We wanted that law. Why did we want that law? Because it helped us to have some kind of a check, which meant it's possible that a man has been married. He's got a wife. There was a chance of this thing being found out. Sometimes it happened several times that somebody said, this girl isn't Jewish. We see on the bands, it's advertised that she's getting married. She's not a Jewess. How do you know she's not a Jewess? I know her mother. Mother isn't Jewish. Or, look here, her mother goes about as a Jewess, but we know that she's not Jewish. And these things happened, and these bans helped us. The government was introducing a law to do away with bans altogether. No bans at all.
By bans, you mean banners?
Well, it was advertised. It was a notice that went up in a public place. It could be in the newspaper, which it was never. It was in the synagogue. Or wherever they were going to be married, it was, but it had to be a place that was accessible, that people saw, that people would read the notice, and that is, and that's the way it was done. So the government all of a sudden came out and said, we don't want these bans anymore. There was a way in which one could dispense with bans, and that was socializing. But the government said, we don't want to. When we heard about this, so I was sent to the government to deal with it with the government. I thought I'd put off a very good case. I went to the government and I analyzed the bill with them. Analyzed the bill and I said, okay, you know what is happening? You are so disturbed as we are with the rate of divorce. The way you are working the bill, will be able to go during his lunch hour. He goes into an eating house, and he meets a girl there, and they say hello, and they speak for half an hour and have a Coca-Cola together, And she says to the man, what's about marrying me? And he says, you know, I didn't ever think of it. She says, well, haven't I given you an idea? He said, just that. I said, well, let's get married, but I've got to be back at work. She says, right. The marriage officer spoke at 4 o'clock. It's only round the corner. Meet me back here at 10 to 4. He said, but I've got to tell my parents. She said, you tell your parents afterwards. As soon as we married, we go and see your parents and you tell them. She said, of course, very good. You know what that means? That they're going to be married. The parents don't have anything about it. Everything is cut and dried over a Coca-Cola. How can you imagine? Anyway, I put this case, and I lost my case.
They weren't poker too.
I lost my case, and I still don't know how. I lost my case. They didn't accept it, and they went through with it. And they were sorry. A couple of years afterwards, they were sorry about it. But they went to. But it was simply when I met them again, socially, I met members of the government, and they knew about it. And I said, you know, I thought I'd have a good case, and I went and I lost my case. And one of the ministers said to me, what is the case you put up? And I put up the case. He said, how do you Jews manage this? How do you work? So I'll tell you how we work it. And I said, the way we work it is as follows. First of all, the parents and they discuss the matter. If they think it's a good son for this man's daughter to meet this man's son, they see that they arrange a meeting. More often than not, the young people don't even know that the meeting has been arranged. But the meeting is arranged. If they like one another, the parents come together again, and that is called shiduchi. That is the first. After shiduchim, we've got tannoi. Shiduchi means the wedding is now, the match is arranged. After that, we've got tannoi, an engagement. And after that, we've got Eirusin, and I explained to him Eirusin, and then we've got Nisuin, and I explained to him Nisuin. And he listens very well, and he said, I am most impressed with this. He said, why didn't you put that case forward? I said, you know what it means to go and speak, and I can't expect the whole world to follow this. If you would have put that case forward, you would have won your game. So I was very... I must tell you that as we spoke, he cried and I cried. He cried that amongst the Gentiles, he was a very religious Gentile, amongst the Gentiles they don't do it. And I cried that amongst the Jews they don't do it. So we both cried. I knew what he was crying about, but he didn't know what I was crying about. But that is what it used to be. Don't just go and marry a girl. It's gone, you see. Now, for a man just to go, it's against the whole spirit of the Torah. It says, of course not. The raw law, that is the raw law. That is the naked law. But nobody goes out and assumes naked. Even in Venice they stop. You don't do that sort of thing. You don't, a law doesn't present itself naked. It's all the derech eretz that goes with it. And no man does that sort of thing if he's going to marry his yevama. First of all, they come together, they decide which brother it is going to be. And then they decide that his brother, is she in agreement with, she's in agreement with it. Then there's maimer, a form of kiddushi. No chupa. And then they come together and they live together. But all the time, as soon as he dies, she is a Shomeres Yomei. That is her name. You understand? says Tosfos, if you look into Tosfos, says Tosfos, the Sarko died to Chamino, Kivin de Shemerish, Yobay, Lo Mechzerot, Nisa Lechupo. Tosfos says that the Mishnah says, you might think that all the time that she is a Chomeris Yobay, there is in the relationship between her and the Shomeris Yobay, is Kiddushin lacking her? No, because it's not necessary to have Kiddushin. Is a chupa lacking here? That not necessary to have a chupa here. So not, he can, what can he do? The pure din, the raw din, the naked din is that her yovim can come to her even against her will. The havi amino dichinasuyo damyo. I would then have thought that if she is a Shomeris Yovel, her relationship with the Yovel is such a strong one that I would say the relationship is that of a Nesua. As if there had been a chuppah already. And that the relationship to him is as of a Nesua.
Mm-hmm.
You follow?
Yeah.
And now he gives her chlitza. It will be as if he gave her chlitza after Nisui. If he gives her chlitza after Nisui, even if she is a basulo, her kesuba is only a mono. Therefore he brings in chlitza. Do you understand?
No.
Yes,
I'm not sure.
I'll tell you why I don't understand.
Will
because
you forgive me if I take my jacket off?
The Mishnah says that they all get 200.
Yes. But then Tosfos asks the question, why does it mention chalutza? Because chalutza is an almona. What does a chalutza mean? A woman has a rusin, she loses her husband, and there are no children. He's never been married before, so there are no children, so she's a widow. So it means she's a widow from the Arusin. What are you bringing the chalutza?
But
it doesn't matter. That was Saul's question was, and it's the same question that Tosfos asks. The Mishnah gives us three examples where a woman is an almoda, a grusha, or a chlutzo, and yet a kesuva is 200, because she is still a kesuva, a besula from the Eirusin. So, the question Tosfos asks is, you don't have to put chalutzo. From Almona and Grusha, you know the din of chalutzo. Sorry, you're missing this mark. Unless you've got it already.
I think I am. Right?
Do you understand?
Yeah, I
understand. The word chalutzo is unnecessary.
Because it's included in Almona.
Because it's from Almona you can know.
So, from what you've just said then,
yes?
In the case of chalutzo, it's as if Nisuin had occurred.
First, let us understand the question. So the question is, if the Mishnah would only have mentioned Almona and Grusha, Basulo, Almona, Grusha, Mino, Erosin, Gesubosim, Masan, it wouldn't have mentioned Chlutzo. And somebody at the Shir would have said to me, and what is the din of Chlutzo?
Mm-hmm.
Before I would have had a chance to answer, Saul would have said it's the same as Almona. And I would have said, you're right. That's what it would have said. We don't need it. We know it. That is the question that Tosfos asks. Now, Tosfos answers and says that if it wouldn't have said chlutzo, we might have thought that chlutzo, her kesuba is only 100. Why? Why? Because if you take what happens, when in the case of an ordinary woman who is an aruso and her husband dies, immediately the orus dies, she is an almono mino erusi. Is she attached in any way to any man?
No.
Nothing. when a man dies and he's without issue, then they have Eirusin. Her husband dies, her betrothed dies, and he has no issue from any other marriage. Is she attached to any person or not?
Yes.
Yes. To whom is she attached? To the yogurt. To the brother. She's attached to the brother. Now just look what happens. She is attached to the brother to such an extent, does he need kiddushin?
No.
Does he need a chuppah?
No.
So she's attached to the brother as if she is a nesuah.
There was no chuppah with the first?
Nesuah. As if she is a nesuah, she is. And now he gives her chalitza. It's as if he gives her chalitza after nesuin. True, she is a nesuah. But what is a nesuah after nesuin? How much does he get?
100.
Only 100. We wanted to get 200. So I could have made a mistake if it wouldn't have said chlutzo. Says Tosfos, I could have made a mistake.
The only problem.
Just one moment, let me just get a few. I'm coming to you. What do you want to ask, Yaakov?
The Mishnah is talking about in the Harrison, that's from the first husband.
Yes.
So she's still in the Basula, I mean, she's a Yvonne, the Basula
from the Harrison. That's right. But
what
is the deen if she would be a Vesula with us in the Suin? How much does she get?
Right.
Only 100.
But the Mishnah is talking about the Nehariism from the first time.
Yes.
And she still is.
Yes. But she says she is a Chlutzel. So it means, who gives her Chlitza? The second.
Yes.
Not the second husband. The brother of the first husband.
Right.
Gives her Chlitza. But when the Yoven gives her chalitza, the relationship of the Yoven to her is that he can live with her at any moment. So if he can live with her to any moment, it is as if she's in the surah. He doesn't need a chuppah. And what would be, so it works out, so she got chalutza, went to the Yoven, she was as if she was in the surah. Then she only gets 100. I could think that it should be only 100. Therefore, says Tosfos, it's necessary for the Mishnah to put in chlutzo that she gets 200 and not 100. You are right that she gets 200, but I could have made a mistake without it. I wouldn't have known without it. That is the point that it makes. You want to say something?
Yes. What exactly is the language that Tosfos uses to tell us that her relationship is like as if she had gone through chuppah?
He says, lo mechzara knisa lechupa. Bringing her to a chupa isn't wanting in this marriage. It's not lacking here, because he doesn't have to do it. So it's just as if chupa has taken place, as far as he's concerned. If then it means he gives a chalitza, and it's as if she's already been a suing here. So she only gets, she's a basula, but a basula from the suin only gets 100. That's why I was so careful to explain to you that the diuk is here, the inference is here, that she gets only if she is a basula from the erisin, she gets 100. But if she is a basula from the, she gets 200. But if she is a basula from the suin, she's a basula. But once in the suin, she only gets 100. That we see better in Tosfos. Just what, yes?
What's interesting is this looks like a case of inheriting more rights than the person you're inheriting from.
Why?
Because the first, the first brother, the one who died, hasn't gone to chuppah yet. He had no rights yet to take the woman, did he?
No, he had to go to chuppah.
And yet, but he hasn't gone to chuppah
yet. No.
And yet his brother gets the right to do what the person who got the rights from couldn't have done.
No.
Very strange, isn't it?
No, it's not strange. It's not strange, because that's the whole, you see, I'll explain to you in a moment how it works. I'll explain to you in a moment how it works. I can understand that you're puzzled by it. That I can understand, but it's not strange. Somebody else still want to ask a question, yes? Israel, are you with me here?
100%.
Good. Yes,
the problem I have, and the reason why I don't see this, why I don't see Tosfos having answered my problem, if there would have been a
Milton, may I trouble you if you stand before the lady to give me some water? Thank you very much.